You know, we talk a lot about the grace of God to us in the coming tribulations and things, and you know, so we talk every once in a while concerning the martyrs in the coming tribulation. They are honored people. And we have a brother joining us, Jonathan Bradford, who's joined UBM recently, and he has been a prayer counselor for the 700 Club, and he's been a guest on the Watchman Radio, which I have too a few times. He's a musician, and he's an evangelist to get the word out, and he's had a very interesting experience that we wanted him to share with you. We thought it would be encouraging. No doubt that many among us will be called to be martyrs for the Lord, a great honor. And but he has some encouraging words concerning this, a revelation that the Lord gave unto him. Jonathan, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. And I thank you and bless you, David, for inviting me on your program tonight. And I thank the Lord that he's given me a vehicle to speak some things tonight to the brethren and bless the brethren tonight. I want to begin with a word that the Lord gave me in September 2008. And it goes something like, it says, "My servant, listen and be watchful, for you do not know when the Son of Man returns. Keep your lamp lit and keep your life free from immorality and the things of this world. You, my child, are like one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the ways of the Lord. For I love you, and I have called you in these last days to be a mouthpiece of holiness and conviction. When you shall speak, I will break the chains off many afflicted, depressed, haughty, and despondent people. The word of the Lord shall go forth from you like living waters permeating to the soul of man. Do not be discouraged. Many shall mock, but did they also mock me? Be of good cheer. I have set the word in your mouth to set many captives free, the ones who will listen. Stay steadfast in my word, day and night, never looking to the left nor to the right. Stay focused, for the job I give you is not for the faint of heart. This takes boldness, and if I am for you, who can be against you? Learn from me, for the hour is late, and I return quickly. Prepare my warning with your mouth, and do not be afraid. The scoffers will always scoff, just as they did in the time of Noah. My son, we are at that time of the end. I shall send more floods, earthquakes, hurricanes, fluctuating weather patterns. Jacob's trouble is almost among you. But do not weep, nor be afraid. These things must take place. And then 10,000 upon thousands of thousands shall be with me when I return as the author and judge of this age. Be ready at all times, and when you grow weary, I shall be there to comfort you. My son, fight the good fight and endure like a soldier, because the end is almost upon you. Then you shall see me appear in the clouds as the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I return quickly and am coming for a bride without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. Sound the alarm on Zion, my holy mountain. I am coming, saith the Lord." I speak that to you to offer encouragement. No matter what we're going through, as Brother David said, these are exciting times to be living in. These are the times of the end that the prophets and the apostles wanted to see. Now it's our turn to be the watchman on the wall. It's our turn to make our stamp, to make our appeal to the Lord God, to bring forth the greatest miracles, the greatest anointing, the greatest works of God that have ever happened in this age, not for our glory, but for the Lord's glory, because we have to be that testimony. We have to be that people that rise against this evil in the last days. We have to sound the alarm, and we have to speak forth the warning message of the Lord. The time is late. but the harvest needs to come forth. And he has called us, each one of us, to be that harvester. And how do we harvest? We spend time with the Lord on a daily basis. We get rid of the things of this world. Jesus said very clearly, love not the world or anything in this world, because he who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The rich young ruler asked, what must I do to be your disciple? And Jesus said, you must go sell everything you have and give to the poor. Then you can be my disciple. But before I begin this dream, I would like to preface a little so you can understand where I was emotionally, spiritually, and physically when I had this dream. I was raised in church, went to Christian schools all my life, and was part of Campus Crusades for Christ. I was saved since the age of 7, but the unthinkable happened to me. My earthly father was diagnosed with liver cancer in 2004 and died in 2005. After much praying and sleepless nights, I really believed God was going to heal him. And in fact, he did, just not the way I wanted. So what happened? I got angry at God. I was mad. I yelled and I screamed and I had temper tantrums. I just couldn't believe that a righteous man like my father, who reared me up in the ways of the Lord, because what's it say in the Bible? It says in the Word of God that train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he is old he shall not depart from it. And my father was there for me every step of the way. And I took my Bible and I was mad and I threw it at the wall. And I said, Lord, this is not what I believe, what you're about. And the wonderful thing, my dad was 69 and a half years old, and when I threw that Bible against the wall, it opened right up to Psalms 90, and my eyes went to verse 10. And that explains it. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we will fly away. When I saw that verse, I wept like a baby. I couldn't believe that God, after me being so angry at him taking my father, was that loving. And I asked the Lord right then and there to forgive me, that I was wrong for even doubting how good he is. My father was spared from a worse kind of evil that was coming on the earth. He lived a holy life, and God took him home before all this came into being. So what happened? I thought, you know, as me being a strong Christian, that I was where I needed to be with the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me, and it hurt what he said. He said, now I can be number one in your life. And I was like, what are you talking about, Lord? I've done everything for you. I've tried to do the best that I could. I've read my Bible. I've gone to church. I was doing religion. I wasn't doing fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God wants us to have fellowship on a daily basis with him. It's not a Sunday, Wednesday thing. It's a daily devotion to the King of Kings, where you decide to wake up every morning and allow God to rule and reign and be victorious in your life. Because it says, we walk by the Spirit, so we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I was putting my dad on a pedestal before Almighty God. And the answer, I hated to admit it, was yes. We must turn our backs on the gods of men. What are yours? You know, the average American watches 7 to 8 hours of television a day. Could that be a god of man in your life? Or movies? Are you setting wickedness before your eyes? Sports? They have become like a religion in this country. Books that aren't edifying. Music? What are the messages saying? Are they of God? Are you putting your wife, your husband, your children, or your family, or your career, or your hobbies ahead of God? God is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and truth. We as Christians need to make sure we give God just as much time, if not more, than anything else in our lives. And I was found guilty in the eyes of the Lord. But the Lord is forgiving. And that's the wonderful thing about the Lord. a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you shall not cast out. So any of you that have walked in my shoes, any of you that have walked in religion and not fellowship, God is right there, 24/7, 7 days a week, and all you need to do is become broken before him. Set off these things. Set off these weights, as Paul declared. They're not worth it. The only thing that's worth it is living your life sanctified before the King of Kings. Because we are his workmanship, created for good works in Christ. And we have to remember that we are the clay and he's the potter. So I encourage you, brethren, I encourage you to seek God with your whole heart. Because it says in the Word of God, in the Beatitudes in Matthew, those that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. That is the promise. And that's what he wants from you. And so I became broken before the Lord. And as I became broken before the Lord, I went to sleep like any other night. This dream happened back in 2004. And the dream starts like this. I was floating above the earth in darkness, and all I could see was my arms and legs from the perspective I was given. But I knew somehow it was me. I noticed a globe-like structure and quickly deduced as I came closer to it that it was planet Earth. The thing that stood out most about the planet was that little dark lines were all over it. And then I realized that these lines were people. Then the shapes of oceans, continents, land masses began to quickly come into view. And then countries, borders, border states, and cities. That was the last thing I saw from the sky because I hit the ground and was startled when I gained my feet and found myself to be in one of those lines. The lines of people far extended my viewing capabilities because it was at night. But as far as the eye could see, there was a myriad of people. Then I asked the people in front of me, "What is this and why are we here?" Just a sad look was given to me. A man behind me said, "It would all be explained." And my exact words were this, "I am getting out of here. This doesn't make any sense." And as soon as I headed out of the line, I noticed a military officer. I don't know what the ranking was, but I assumed that it was a foot soldier for crowd control. One of the officers looked at me with a smirk and said, "I would not advise you leaving this line," as he hid his hand underneath the brunt of his machine gun and yelled, "Get back in line!" The soldiers were dressed in light blue fatigues and a blue hat with a world logo on the cap. I could not make out what the writing was on the cap, so his intimidation tactics worked, and I found myself back in this line. It seemed like the line took forever to move, and in the far distance, as we were clearing a pass, I noticed a shadowy complex barely visible by the lights around it. For what I could tell, it was a massive structure and was metallic in nature. I saw for the very first time a set of doors, almost like hangar doors, but again, I was too far off in the distance. The closer I came, I saw that we were indeed by hangar bay doors. A huge set of double doors, and people were going through them almost like a herd of cattle going to its demise. Finally, after what seemed like hours, I was approaching these hangar bay doors, and just as expected, the line still continued on. I looked into the distance and noticed an exchange going on, and another set of hangar bay doors just like the first ones I had seen. I remember clearly the impression I had was something like, "This is not a good sign." But as I maintained my place in line, and the closer I got to the other set of hangar bay doors, I noticed a huge wooden desk and people on the other side of it. I started counting them behind the desk, and it totaled 12 people. And as soon as I saw this, like clockwork, my name was called. "Jonathan Bradford, come forward now." These men were not pleasant at all, and all the men were decorated military officials from many different countries. And you could tell they were grieved by something. One of the military officials was handed a file out of the cabinets behind them. and was going through it rather quickly. He put a piece of paper in front of me and handed me a pen and said, "Sign here." My response was, "What?" Again, he said, "Sign here." And my reply was, "What am I signing? I don't sign anything without reading it first." And this look of hatred filled his eyes. And he raised his voice at me and said, "It is because you refuse to renounce Jesus Christ as your Savior." I could not believe what I was hearing and was rather stunned and shocked as I spoke up again. "What did you just say?" This time he lost it and screamed, "You refuse to renounce Jesus Christ as your Savior." And to that I replied, "Yes, you are correct." So quickly I signed my name and he spoke up again saying, "Get back in line." Mind you, in this dream, I was already a Christian. I had a relationship with God, and my relationship was grounded way back when I was 7 years old. So with that, I got back in line. It hadn't been too long until I noticed a man frantically running. He was as pale as a ghost as he ran past me and was screaming at the top of his lungs, "I renounce the Lord Jesus Christ! I renounce the Lord Jesus Christ!" The officials directed him another way, and one of the military officers went and picked up his file and paperwork and tore it up right on the spot. I do not know what happened to that man. I could only speculate that he took the mark of the beast. Then it dawned on me, I'm going to my death. And sudden terror began to fill me, but I quickly gained my composure and began to pray in earnest. I was finally at the second set of hangar bay doors, but this time they were closed. I noticed in the right-hand corner one military official with an electronic device. It was a tracker of some sort, and the doors opened, and he counted about 20 people or so, and we were ushered in, and the door sealed behind me and the others. This was a holding area of some sort, and right in front of me, you guessed it, it was the final set of hangar bay doors. Faintly in the background, I could hear something mechanical that seemed familiar, but then again it wasn't. As the final set of doors opened, and just as before, another man came screaming out in terror, saying the same things as the other man, "I'll renounce Jesus Christ." The doors immediately opened for him, and he was out of view. Then what stood before me was a carnival-type style rung system, the same type of setup as you see at amusement parks and roller coaster rides. You could not see what was ahead. They had blocked it by partition, and all you could do is hear crying and laughter at the same time. Once again, I heard the metallic sound, but what was it? I must have gone around 14 different rungs before the floor was opened up to me. Men dressed in black robes off to the right on a platform well out of reach were yelling and screaming with laughter. Things like, "Where is your God now? Maybe if you cry out loud enough, he will hear you. You're going to die." All this was in the midst of evil laughter. And then other voices saying things like, "Just renounce Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to die." Once again, my flesh started to well up. But this time, instead of terror, it was boldness. I started singing praises to God. And then they started hurtling insults at me personally. I reminded them of their future if they would not repent. And they yelled back at me, shut up, or we will shut you up. The crowd became restless, and then from nowhere I was being punched. It did not last long, however, because I was close to the end. And once I got past a clearing, I could see the instruments of my demise. My fear had become reality. It was indeed an executioner and a guillotine. The thing that was startling was there was only one guillotine. I guess to really invoke fear into people, it was time. The moment of truth had begun, and then out of nowhere, the fight-or-flight sensory kicked in, and I was not ready to die, but was ready to fight for what I believed. Then the unexpected happened, when Jesus appeared and was smiling and said these calming words to me, "Fear not, my child. I am with you. And I will be with you always, even to the end of this age." Then God's peace overtook me. I was relaxed, my anger ceased, and then I was loaded into this machine face up. I could see the blade coming down, but I felt no pain. As I was looking up, the ceiling became firmament, and bright lights began to shine everywhere. And then a funnel cloud began to swirl over top of me, and I was caught up in an instant, quicker than a blink of an eye. I felt overwhelmed with joy and peace, almost forgetting what just happened on earth. I was with the Lord, and that was all that mattered. Then I woke up and said, I will be martyred for Jesus. How cool is that? Or will that actually happen? I'm not sure. Only time will tell. There was no rapture of the church. I knew this dream or vision. The thing that I saw in this dream or vision, I knew this is enough. I was a Christian, and there was no rapture of the church. So with that, right there, I leave you with this, that no matter what we go through, God will be with us. And some he will call to martyrdom. Some he will call to be overcomers. And some he won't. Some will be able to go forth and be mighty bold warriors in these last days. But whatever God has for you, remember, all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So do not worry. Do not fret. Do not fear. Allow God to be number one in your life and develop that relationship that he longs for. He wants to know you by name. The thing that I did when I was trying to really understand how to get in touch with the Lord, to find out, to negate where I was with the Lord, because in these last days, we're going to have to hear from the Lord. We're going to have to bring forth the angelic host. We're going to have to call things that be not as though they were. And we're going to have to take a stand against evil and wicked in this day. I asked the Lord a question. And I said, Lord, if I'm where I need to be with you, then I pray that you would answer this question for me. And so I spoke a question to him. And he answered it. He answered it immediately. The night that I went to bed, I had a dream, and he answered my question. He'll answer your question many different ways, through visions, through dreams, through the word, through the brethren. Because what's it say in the Bible? Two or three witnesses. So what you need to do. You need to ask the Lord, where are you? Are you hearing from the Lord right now? Or are you not as close to God as you thought you were? All it takes is one prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. And restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Get away from the things of this world. They're going to burn. They're not worth it. They're not worth it. Allow God to be the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings in your life. Because that's what he truly desires. And I thank you so much, Brother David, for this time that you allowed me to share. And God bless you, and God bless the saints. And you have a wonderful night.
Hey, Jonathan, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
From your experience, I noticed you said that you felt no pain.
Correct.
From your experience, was there really anything to be afraid of? Having gone through it, like none of us actually have, God lets you experience this as a faithful person in the Lord. But just judging by your experience, not the apprehension that you had before or the fear that you had before.
Correct.
Just from your experience, was there anything to be afraid of?
Absolutely not. I just saw the blade coming down on my neck, and then I felt something just pull. Just something pulled me right up. The angels, or I don't know what it was, but I felt a force just pull me right up out of my body before any of that pain was induced. I felt nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the way that I describe how quickly it was, I've described this to some people before. If you take a container, like a pitcher of water or a pitcher of milk, and you pour it out, and you videotape it, and then you put the video back in your machine, and you play it backwards, that's how quickly that funnel cloud came down and picked me right up. And I was in the glory of the Lord forever and ever. So absolutely, I felt no pain, none. And I'm so thankful that the Lord showed me that dream, because if I do have to go through this, I already know the end. I already saw it. So what do I have to fear? I know I won't feel any pain.
You can
no big deal.
You can just encourage the other people in the line, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, you know, isn't it amazing that obviously the people who renounced the Lord had once confessed him or they wouldn't have been in that line, you know?
That is correct.
But just because they were susceptible to a spirit of fear, because they really didn't have the love of the Lord, you know? You know, the Bible says, he that loveth me keepeth my commandments, right?
Amen.
Perfect love casts out all fear. So therefore, if a person has loved the Lord enough to keep his commandments, they wouldn't be susceptible to fear. These are evidently people who have confessed him before men, but have not really lived the life. And even at the last moment, God would not give them the grace that he gave to you.
No.
In appearing to you and comforting you and giving you grace to go through this thing and to take away your fear, you know?
That is correct. Yeah, I mean, I just felt, you know, when I was in the very last throes of the line, that holy boldness just welled up inside of me. It was like unquenchable fire. I just started being bold and proclaiming, and those guys didn't want to hear what I had to say. And they were knocking me around, boy, pretty good. But it just shows me how awesome God is. And when I was, you know, the fear left me when the first time, that was the only time the fear welled up in me, was when I saw that guy the first time renouncing Jesus Christ. That's when the fear really welled up in me. But then I just got centered, and I just started focusing on the Lord, and I just started praising, and I started, you know, praying to him and thanking him, you know. And then all of a sudden that fear left. And then when I got at the very top of that, where the executioner was at, the flight or fight sensory wasn't because I was fearful. I was mad that they were trying to destroy the Christians. Kind of like what Barnabas was doing in the day when God told him, Barnabas, those who live by the sword shall die by the sword. That kind of righteous indignation welled up in me, and I was mad. I was like, ready to fight everybody there for the sake of Christianity. But God tells you not to fight. He tells you to turn the other cheek. So I was in the wrong spirit. And God knew that he had to, you know, calm me down because I was ready to go fight. But he calmed me down. Because I saw him, and he just the peace of the Lord just overwhelmed me. And all of a sudden, all of that anger, that righteous anger, just completely left my body. And I just was completely relaxed and limp as I was looking up. And then it was over in just a split second, a blink of an eye. And then I was watching as I was leaving my body. I was watching as I was going up into the firmament, and I was gone. And the joy of the Lord forever.
And actually the fear and apprehension, which was really baseless, was the most painful thing that you experienced there.
That is correct. That is correct.
And these people who did renounce the Lord traded that spirit of fear for eternal life, didn't they?
They sure did. They sure did. And, you know, I remember as I saw those guys doing that, I just, you know, even though I was... Even at that point, the first time I saw the guy, even though I was fearful a little bit, I felt sorry because I knew what that guy had done. He had forsaken his first love. And so nothing that we go through, saints, is worth renouncing Jesus Christ over. Nothing. He will give you the strength. He says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And it says if God is for us, who can be against us? He is our strong tower. He is our rock. And all we have to do is allow him to be that rock, to be that strong tower for us. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was. When he came and he appeared to me, I knew that my rock and strong tower was delivering me. And I was excited. And as soon as I went up in the firmament, I felt a joy that I have never, ever felt in my life. I just felt waves of love and waves of compassion. And I woke up. I remember when I woke up from that dream, I had tears in my eyes. I mean, that's how much love I felt when I woke up. Just an immense amount of love. It just was washing and cascading like a river all over my body. And I just felt like I never wanted to leave. And that's what we got to look forward to, saints, being in the glory of the Lord forever and ever.
Amen, amen. Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that death is swallowed up in victory. And it says, O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? For the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. In other words, because we have grace, and if we walk in the light that we have, we're accounted as righteous. We're not held accountable for all of the written law. We're accounted as righteous as we walk in that light that God gives us. For to know to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, the Bible says. And so the sting of death, or the pain of death, is taken away. I've said before, even though I've never experienced this, that beheading has got to be the most humane way to die. You know, if you're going to execute a bunch of people, it's got to be the most humane way to die because you don't feel anything. And I've heard other people say the same thing who experienced beheading in a vision or in a dream or whatever, said the same thing, that there was no pain whatsoever. You know, if you could just think about that, you know, your trip to the guillotine could be a joyful one. It's like you're going to see Jesus, you know?
Amen.
You heard that song, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. You know, that's, boy, I tell you, if you could just sing that line. Praise God.
Amen.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know whether I'll be beheaded or not, and I don't know if you will be, because sometimes the Lord gives you, you know, an experience for the blessing of others. You know, it's not necessarily
right.
What's going to happen to you. You
correct.
Know, there are some that are not going to die, obviously, and there are some that will. And if any is for captivity, into captivity he goeth, the Lord said. One thing is for sure, we all have to lose our life to gain our life. And I suppose if we're not finished losing our life by the time of the end, God is going to be very merciful and help us with this experience. You know, Jesus could have said, come on, son, let's get out of here. He didn't say that. He said, just be patient and wait your way through it, right?
Mm-hmm.
He knew it was necessary. He could have stopped the whole thing, couldn't he?
Sure can.
But that wasn't God's plan. You know,
that's right.
And
just like when he was on the cross, you know, he could have sent down legions of angels. Or when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he could have released those 72,000 angels.
Yep.
But he didn't do it because he was doing the will of his Father.
Amen. So it's comforting to know, I'm sure, for a lot of people out there that they really should never worry about this. I mean, this is stepping out of the world and stepping into the kingdom. And the only thing you could experience is that emotional turmoil if you give your mind over to it. And, of course, that's one reason Jesus showed up, to comfort you, to let you know that to be not afraid. Yep. This is nothing to be afraid of.
Everything's going to be all right, son.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you, Father. Well, thank you, Jonathan, for that encouraging word. That's a blessing.
Well, I appreciate it.
A lot of people remember that.
Amen. Well, you be blessed, Brother David, and the saints that are listening, and maybe some of the people that have come in, you know, thought it was an accident. Maybe you have a divine appointment with the Lord tonight, and allow Him to do that new work in you, because He loves you, and He wants you to make the right decisions. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The people that are listening that aren't a part of the fellowship, you know, the stock market, you can't put your faith in the stock market. You can't put your faith in money. You can't put your faith in things. The only thing you can do is put your faith in Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ. If you're worried about the things that are coming, you have nothing to worry about if you get your life right with Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Jonathan. Thank you so much.
Okay, God bless. I'll be talking to you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.